Well, we're going to be in Matthew 19. We are talking about being servants and service. And this morning, the reward of service. The reward of service. I think I was about 32 years old, and Kathy and I decided that it was time for me to look for a new job. I liked a lot of things about my boss, but the particular boss that I had at the time was just kind of an angry person. And the Bible says, don't be with an angry man, lest you become like him. So as it went on and on and on, we were like, okay, I need to find a different job. So I went to this new dealership called Herb Gordon Dodge. It was supposed to be one of the best dealerships in the area up there. And I sat down with the service director, whom I really liked. His name was Steve Gray. And I interviewed with this guy like 3 or 4 times. You know, as an automobile mechanic, it's usually you walk in the door and they say, you're hired. But with this guy, this was evidently a little different. Interviewed with him like 4 times. He wanted to talk about everything under the sun, except what I'd be paid. He didn't want to talk about that. It was like he wanted me to fall in love with his dealership and sign on the bottom line and say, yes, I'm so excited, and come to work. And then he was going to tell me how much he was going to pay me. I, on the other hand, was very interested in how much he was going to pay me. And whenever I talked to my wife about it, she's like, yeah, but what are they going to pay you? And, you know, that's just kind of important to us. Have you ever thought about that as a Christian? What's God going to pay you? What are you going to get out of it? Is it the best way to spend your life? You ever ask that question? I think it's a really important question. And we're going to read a passage of Scripture this morning where it's really cool because Peter asks Jesus that exact question. So before we dive into the Word, let's just pray and ask our Heavenly Father to lead this time. Well, Lord, we're just so thankful for you again. And Lord, thank you for this book that we have in our hands. What a privilege. We ask you, Lord, as we open it this morning, not to hear from Sam. Lord, we ask you, by just a miracle of your Holy Spirit, that we would hear from you. Lord, I pray that you would speak into each and every life that's here, mine included. Help us to hear your voice. Lord, I know you're the only one that can do this, and so we just ask you for it. In the name of Christ, amen. Amen. So before we read, again, we're in Matthew 19, if you want to read along. Before we read, let me catch you up to what's going on in chapter 19. Jesus has been out for some time in his public ministry. He's traveling through the nation of Israel, and everywhere he goes, he's doing like 3 or 4 things, okay? He's healing people. He's sometimes providing meals for people. He's providing encouragement. He's teaching them. You know, he'll bring the little ones and sit them on his knee and pray for them and bless them. He's just making these intimate personal connections with people everywhere he goes and teaching them. All right, and in the process of doing that, in chapter 19, this young man comes up to Jesus and asks him a question. He's like, Lord, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? Now, we're not going to get into all of that. That is also an important discussion. Maybe we'll go there another week. But that's his question, and Jesus basically says, well, have you, you know, keep the Ten Commandments? And he goes, well, which ones? So Jesus names a few of them. He says, you know, honor your father and your mother, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't lie, things like that. And the young man says, well, okay, well, I've done all that ever since I was little. What else am I lacking? Interesting question, right? It's like he knew something was missing. And so then the Lord just puts his finger right on the problem. He says, all right, I'll tell you what you do. If you want to be complete, go sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and come follow me. Evidently, what was going on in this young man's life, is that he wasn't keeping the first commandment. Have no other gods before me. Because he loved his possessions more than he loved God. And he went away sad because he wasn't willing to do what Jesus asked him to do. And so then Jesus starts talking about how hard it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And I think that, again, is because it's easy to put our possessions above our love for God. Anyhow, it brings up the question for Peter. And so here it comes in verse 27. Peter said to him, "Behold, we've left everything and followed you. What then will there be for us?" In other words, the young man left. He wasn't willing to give it all up. But Peter says, we have. We've left it all. We've left our homes. We've left our businesses. We've left our families. We have given it all up to follow you, Lord. What are we going to get out of it? Great question, right? So we're going to go over Jesus' answer and talk about some of the things that I think are implications of his answer. Here he goes. He begins, well, if you have a pencil and paper, you know, if you're taking notes, I want to give you four main things to write down, okay? The first one is, I believe this is reward number one that Jesus is talking about, is partnership with Jesus in his future plans. The reward of giving up everything and following him, becoming his servant, becoming the servant of others in Jesus' name, is partnership with Jesus in his future plans. And here's what he says. This is how he puts it in verse 28. He says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, that you who have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne, you also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." All right, so they're going to go right on into eternity with Jesus, still working with him. All right, and of course, that's the 12 disciples. How about us? Well, we may not be on one of those 12 thrones, but as you read the rest of the New Testament, it becomes crystal clear that we also are going to go into eternity with him, in partnership with him, leading his kingdom, ruling the kingdom that he sets up. We will rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years, is the way the book of Revelation puts it. We're going to serve with him. Now, that's, I think, a more significant reward than you might imagine. Right? Just think about, well, we'll turn. Keep your finger here if you would, and turn with me real quickly to Psalm 33. Read verse 11. It says, "The counsel of the Lord stands forever. The plans of his heart from generation to generation." Okay? The counsel of the Lord stands forever. The plans of his heart from generation to generation. It's God's plans that are going to continue on out into eternity. Look at the verse before it, verse 10. "The Lord nullifies the counsel of the nations. He frustrates the plans of the peoples." See, all of America's great plans and Iran's great plans and Great Britain's great plans and all of those plans that are not in line with what the Lord Jesus has in mind are going to come to an abrupt halt. And his plans are going to go on into eternity. You ever play with a young child who likes to demolish things? You know, like our grandson Zane was down about a week and a half ago. And I'm putting, you know, we got these little Lego blocks about, say, so big. And I'm building all these fancy things out of Legos. And I hand it to Zane. He's like, "Ooh." And he immediately begins disassembling it. And I'm like, "What?" It's a little bit frustrating. You ever experience that? You know, something you just work on it really hard and then they just, demolish it. Yeah. Right? It's a little bit frustrating. You know, there's going to be people who spend their entire lives building an empire just to watch it be demolished. There are going to be people who build a sinful empire, and the Lord's going to come back. It's all going to burn up. He's going to rebuke them. He's going to hold them accountable for the people that they have led astray, and their entire life's work is going to vanish. Wow. But people who are serving the Lord Jesus Christ, their work is going to continue right on into eternity. I want to just read real quickly a lot of the rest of Psalm 33 with you. It's really interesting. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he has chosen for his own inheritance. The Lord looks from heaven. He sees all the sons of men. From his dwelling place, he looks out on all the inhabitants of the earth. He who fashions the hearts of them all. He who understands all their works. Listen to this. The king is not saved by a mighty army. A warrior is not delivered by great strength. A horse is a false hope for victory. Nor does it deliver anyone by its great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope for his loving kindness, to deliver their soul from death, to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. God's watching over the earth. The people who are serving him, the people who are walking in step with his plans, they're the people that God is supporting. And they're the people that are going to go on into eternity with their work continuing. In other words, if we are truly serving the Lord Jesus Christ here at Lifesong Community Church, that means we are building a community, we are building a family, we are building a church body that is going to go right on into eternity. The relationships that we build together here, they're not going to end at the grave. We're going to go into eternity together. We're going to be loving one another and encouraging one another and working shoulder to shoulder with one another. Isn't that cool? And with the Lord Jesus. We're going to be partners with him forever. I love that. Anyhow, moving on to idea number two. Oh, I wanted to share this quote with you. I thought this was really cool. You've probably heard of C.T. Studd. He was a missionary, a fairly well-known missionary. He said, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. That's what's going to go into eternity. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. And I want to read you 1 Thessalonians 2:19, because Paul basically says the same thing. Paul says, who is our hope or joy or crown of exaltation? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus at his coming? You are our glory and our joy. Scott told me just this morning, he said, hey, I met one of our neighbors up on the corner and got to invite him to church. You know, we're building a family that we're going to be excited to see in heaven with us. It's really, really a cool idea. All right, so anyhow, point number two. The first thing is our reward will be participation with Jesus in the future. The second is we'll get rewards with compound interest. Rewards with compound interest. Jesus says this in verse 29. He says, and everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or farms for my name's sake will receive many times as much and will inherit eternal life. Okay, so right now we're focusing on that word, he says that you'll receive many times as much. The Greek word literally could be translated 100 times as much. So let's just play a little game here this morning. Now, I want to remind you, this is just a game. I cannot do what God is promising you. But in my game, for every dollar that you bring me next week, I'll give you $100. Now, if I were rich, what would you do this week? You'd go get every dollar you got. You'd be searching the house. You'd be pulling it out of the bank. 100 times. Wow. That's incredible. What a promise. What an incredible promise. You know, I think about John sometimes, our son, John. I talked to him, I think it was probably sometime in the last year. It could have been a little longer than that. And he said, you know what, Dad? I thought the longer we were in China, it would get easier. He said, actually, I think it's getting harder to be away from our family. You know, not there on Christmas, not there on all these special days. The kids are, you know, we have more kids and they're growing up. He said, I think it's getting harder. But what an incredible reward. God says 100 times as much. You know, God is not so focused on what you and I have when we're living down here. He says we're in a foreign country. He doesn't use these words, but basically I think he says, don't sink your roots down in too deep. Live for the next one. And that's where he's promised to reward us 100 times. So think about the things that God is asking you to do or sacrifice for his work. Think about them. It may be hard. It may sound hard to do. It may sound like difficult things to give up. But 100 times as much? That's his promise. It's just, I think the bottom line is, are we willing to take him at his word? Item number 3. He just promised in the very same verse, he said, and eternal life. You'll receive many times as much, 100 times as much, and you'll inherit eternal life. Now, some people, I think this verse is a little bit confusing for them. Jesus is not saying here that you can earn your way to heaven, okay? He's not saying that, you know, if you sacrifice enough, if you do enough good deeds, you're going to get eternal life as a result of that. The rest of the Bible makes that abundantly clear. This is just, it's a package deal that we get when we say, okay, I'm trusting you, Lord, I'm leaving sin behind, and I'm all yours. Come and live inside of me. I'm going to be your servant. It is a package deal. And one of the things that we inherit is eternal life. I mean, all the other things we've already been talking about are really pretty cool. You got to admit. But you know how Jesus defined eternal life, right? He said eternal life is to know God. It means to be in a relationship with him. This is eternal life, that they might know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So again, it's a little bit like the first one. We talked about how one of the rewards is that we'll enter, we'll be in a partnership with him for eternity. It's similar to that. Inheriting eternal life means we're not going to be off in the recesses of the universe somewhere where nobody knows who we are and we're on some assignment out there and whatever's going on. But no, we're going to be with our Heavenly Father. He says that we won't have any need of the Son because God and the Lamb will be the light of that place. It says He will be our God. We will be His people. He will wipe away every tear. We will be together. We will be together with the most amazing person in the universe. You know, think of the person you know that's the most gracious, the most kind, the most fun to be around. Man, I love to be with that person. And multiply that times like a billion. And that's what it's going to be like to be in His presence. There is nothing like it. And I believe that's a lot of what is intended by eternal life. Jesus said that's what eternal life is. But there's one more I'd like us to look at together this morning, a fourth idea about the reward of service. And that very simply is that the reward of service will be surprising. It'll be surprising. And we're going to take a little while to explain what I mean by this. But look at Jesus' last statement here in verse 30. After He's given all these other rewards, He says, "But many who are first will be last, and the last first." That's kind of like, huh? What's He talking about? Many who are first will be last, and the last first. Well, Jesus tells a story to kind of expound on that. Now, you know, in the original Bible, the original Greek text, there are no chapter divisions. There are no verse divisions. It just flows. So chapter 20, somebody else decided to stick that in there, okay? So the many who are first will be last, and the last first. For Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. When he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius for the day, he sent them into his vineyard. Okay, so a denarius was basically one day's pay. So he went out into the marketplace. Here's some folks sitting around. He says, "Hey, you guys want to work for me today?" They're like, "Yeah, what are you going to pay us?" "One denarius." They're like, "Sweet." And so they head out into his vineyard. And then he continues. He went out about the third hour, so about 9 o'clock. He saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And to those he said, "You also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right I will give to you." Okay, to shorten the reading here a little bit, he goes out again about 12 o'clock. And he finds more people. And he says, "You go into the vineyard, and I'll pay you whatever's right." Then about 3 o'clock, he goes back again. And he finds more people. And he says, "What are you guys doing sitting around?" "Well, nobody hired us." He says, "I tell you what, you go work in the vineyard too, and I'll pay you whatever's right." At the end of the day, he gets ready to pay them all. And the ones who started at 3 o'clock in the afternoon come first. And he gives them a denarius. And then they all come in order. You know, the 12 o'clock ones, gives them a denarius. 9 o'clock one, give them a denarius. The ones who came early in the morning, he gives them a denarius. Well, they're a little bit upset. They're like, "Wait a minute. We've been here working all day, and you gave us the same pay that you gave to these dudes who only got here after 3 o'clock. What is up with that?" And Jesus says, "Well, wait a minute. You and I had a discussion at the beginning of today, and you agreed that a denarius was what you were willing to work for." He says, "I gave you exactly what we agreed on, but I am a generous person. Isn't it okay for me to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I'm generous?" And so then he repeats himself. He says, "So I say to you, many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." I think there are going to be surprises when we get to heaven. Interesting. You know, sometimes I feel like a latecomer in some of the things I am trying to do to follow the Lord. Sometimes I feel like, "Man, it just took me forever. Lord, what's wrong with me?" I was so fearful. I was so whatever. God's generous. I think we're going to be so surprised at who's being rewarded in heaven. You know, I think about people who have these huge, major, I'm trying to put a couple of words here together while I'm thinking at the same time. People who have these huge disabilities, maybe they're mentally retarded, maybe they're physically handicapped, maybe they can't do any of the things that we think are great things, that are great service to Jesus. Maybe they're having these major internal spiritual battles so that all we see is their challenges on the outside. And yet, when they get to heaven, who is going to be rewarded? I think we're going to be surprised because God is generous. I think another thing he could be saying here is, you know, Peter said, "Hey, Lord, we left everything. What are we going to get out of it?" I think Jesus could be saying, "Peter, be careful about making a deal with God. You don't want to make a deal with God and have God sign on the dotted line. Why not? Because God is the most generous person in the universe." And that's what he so much as says right here in these words. Are you envious because I'm generous? So I think we need to be careful. You know, I've heard many people say to me, you know, how can God forgive a murderer? You know, the message, the gospel that you preach tells me that even if someone has murdered someone and late in their life, they sincerely ask God to forgive them, he can forgive them. Well, that is a huge question, and there are a lot of pieces that come into play there, and we don't have time to answer that whole question this morning. But just keep in mind, God's generous. And what Jesus did on the cross was incredible. The forgiveness that he provided for us was very, very costly. The forgiveness that I need, I don't know about your life, the forgiveness that I need is enormous. But God's forgiven us, one and all, graciously and completely, and he's going to reward us. So anyhow, I hope that this has been encouraging for you. It's been a very encouraging study for me just to think about the rewards that we're going to have. You know, like last week we were talking about how thinking about being a servant is a challenge. You know, it's like, wow, how do people do that? Can I really do that? I think it's just so good for us to meditate on what an incredible reward we have. Lord, it was an honest question. It was a great question. We left everything. Everything, Lord. What are we going to get out of it? And you didn't give Peter grief. You answered his question. What an answer. Lord, 100 times as much, ruling and reigning with you, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. Lord, I pray, show me how to respond to this. And my brothers and sisters here, show us how to respond to this. Lord, I pray, make us servants. Lord, help us to lay down our lives for you the way you laid yours down for us. Lord, help us not to be stingy about it, or reluctant to do it, or slow to do it. Lord, help us just today to simply say, Lord, my heart's ready. I'll do whatever I can to serve you. Lord, I pray that we'd say that today. And that we'd not only say it, but that we'd do it, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name.